Okay, let's continue. Let's begin. Lefichach roishi is dame el pulis akese. We're learning the Ramak's in the first parak, the Ramak's introduction, the first sentence, second sentence, the Ramak's introduction to the first midah of Nikel Kamaycha we were talking about last week. So those who were here last week, remember that we were talking about the strange decision of the Ramak to build his sefer upon the 13 midas in Sefer Micha in Navi, as opposed to the 13 midas in Parashas Kisisa after the Chet HaEgel. And not only that, he describes these 13 midas harachamim that we say by Tashlich, Mikel Kamoich HaNoisi Oven Vafesha. He calls these 13 midas, midas shel rachamim elyonos, the highest midas harachamim. And you remember that at the end last week we were talking about this. How could it be that these 13 midas that are later on in Navi, that these are the midas elyonos, not the midas that we find after the Chet HaEgel that we're familiar with, Hashem Hashem Karach Machanu, not to have the midas of Parshas Kisisa? And we learned an interesting thing, how the Zohar Kodesh tells us that the midas of Sefer Micha are called Seder Ilah, the higher Seder of the Midas. And the Midas in Parshas Kisisa and Chumash are called the Seder Tatar, the lower Seder of the Midas. And we were talking a little bit about that at the end of last week. So let's continue and finish up the Ramak's Hagdama and get to the first Mid of Nikel Kamaycha. To understand this a little bit more in our Madrega, the Gror writes that the 13 midos that we have in Micha, in Navi, Nikel Kamocha, Nosei Avon, and so on, that those 13 midos are the pnimius of the 13 midos that are found in Chumash. Now, there's not two different sets, but rather we should look at it more as outside and inside, that the 13 midos in Parshas Kisisa, we don't really understand. The 13, we don't understand. We can't understand without the 13 midas of Sefer Micha that are revealed to us later on in time by the Navi, which are the pnimis, the inner meaning, and inner depth of the midas that are in Parshas Kisisa. And that's why, perhaps going back to the beginning of the Sefer, you remember that we asked the question, why does the Ramak begin with Ha'odam Ro'ui Shiyazdame Lakono? That it's proper and fitting that you and I, that all of us should resemble the Creator. Why not Chayiv? Why not be obligated? Why Ro'ui? So the Tzaddikim explain that because these Midos are Midos Elyonos, what we're going to learn in the Sefer, each and every one of us can relate to, Mitzvah, to each of the Midas, and we can work on each of these Midas. But because the Zohar defines these Midas as, in Micha, as Midas Elyonos, very great and very remarkable and very deep, and since the Ramak is, of course, a very great Mekubal, and everything he's writing, everything he's teaching us can be understood on a simple level and on a much deeper level. He was a great Mekubal. Therefore, when he writes to us, Ro'i, the Tzaddikim say that most people can't aspire to live according to the deepest interpretation of what the Midos are. We can't live on that Madrega of the highest and deepest interpretation of the Midos. Nevertheless, the mitzvah of the Torah, v'halachta bedrachav, to go in Hashem's ways, mahu rachum, just as Hashem is compassionate, so we have to be compassionate. The Ramak is going to explain this to us on a very, very basic level, how we can try to live according to these midas. So the Midas El Yainis, the highest interpretation of the Midas. Last week we were talking about Hadavka at the end of time. Hashem revealed, later in time, Hashem revealed the Midas Harachamim. Because we're Hadavka because of how difficult Golus is and how much we've suffered in Golus, tonight Shavuos Batamus, and all that we've been through. And therefore there's a tremendous Gilui of Rachamim, of Hashem's love and Hashem's compassion. As far as we're concerned, the Ramban has a lashon. The Ramban writes, "Ki ein safik ya oheves chavero o adono ochez darko." That when you love someone, you try as much as possible to hold on to something of the ways of that person. When you love somebody and you look up to someone, even though you can't be entirely like that person, but the Ramban says, when you respect, admire, and love someone, you try to be at least ochez bedarko, to at least have a connection to hold on to try to be somewhere like that. Therefore, it's important to remember as we go through Mitzvah the Midas, that this Sefer Talmud Dvar, which is one of the most beloved Sfarim that we have, that the Sefer Talmud Dvar is written for those Jews who are Oyhavei Hashem, the people who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and who are aspiring, who are trying to have a deeper connection to the Midas of Hashem, to be more and more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mekam the Mitzvah of Halach to the Drachav in as deep a way as possible. Because I'll make a distinction between a Ben and an Eved. It's in Parshas Bahar, because I'll make a distinction between a Ben, a son, the son of the king, and an Eved, a servant of the king, that the difference is that an Eved does what he's told, but he doesn't do more than that. He does what he's told. The child, on the other hand, Chazal tell us, the child feels that he has the right to be mechapis, to search b'gin zayid malka, to go into the secret treasures of his father, of the king. To go into the gin zayid malka. Those who are bachutz, an eved is not, a child is not the same as a son. So they're satisfied to live in a way of obedience. An eved is obedient, which itself is a madrega. But a child of the king, who loves the king, wants desperately to connect to the king, wants to search in the deepest secrets and the treasures of his father, of the king. And the Ramak, being the great Makuba that he is, the Ramak is giving us in this Sefer the opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Midas on a very understandable and simple level. But these are Midos Elyonos, these are very great and exalted Midos, and a person can sit and learn the Sefer Talmud Dvar his entire life and go deeper and deeper and understand on a deeper level how to be more and more godlike, how to be more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the earliest Sifrei Kabbalah that we have is Shari Oira from Rabbi Yosef Ibn Jigtala. And I wanted to share with you a very famous piece in the Shari Oira. The Sefer Shari Oira is written also about Hashem's Midas, about the spheres, Chesed, Kesa, Chacham, Bina, Chesed, Gvur, Tveres, and so on, and also on the Shemos of Hashem, Hashem's names, and how each name of Hashem, how we have to try to understand each of those names as a way that you and I can relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Shemos of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Elokim, Shakai, and so on. So the Shari Oira writes the following. It's important to listen. It's a very famous thing. It should take a minute. He says, "Daki kesha Hashem Yisbarach Nesra b'fnei ha'umais." He says, you should know that Hashem is the king of the world. And therefore, when he's Misra b'fnei ha'umais, when he appears, when he relates to the nations of the world, who kedimyan ha'melach ha'omid l'fnei ha'sarim l'fnei kol avadav. He's like a king who appears before his officers and his servants. Sh'omid melubash levushe malchus or levushe melchama. When the king appears before his officers, he's wearing his royal garments or his levushe melchama of war. And the king would never appear informally. He would never dress informally in front of his officers and his servants. V'vigach ein Hashem nir klal lo'ev dekechavim. Therefore, Hashem is Melech HaOlam. But the nations of the world don't truly have a kesher with Him, can't have a deep connection with Him. They only can see Hashem, so to speak, when He's in full uniform, in full dress. That's how they see Hashem, which means He's very, very covered, very concealed. When Hashem is with His people, with us, then Hashem with us is like a king with his family. And obviously, when he's in his home with his family, the king is able to be more kivyachal himself, and he's able to take off some of those external garments. The king is with his family; he takes off some of these malbushim. Zeus said, he says, this is the secret of Sholosh Pam Vashana, Yeru'eh Kol Schorches Pnei Hashem Elokecha. He says, this is the secret of what it says in the Torah, that when we go up Aliyah L'Regel, when we go to Yerushalayim for Yontiv, it says, Sholosh Pam Vashana, Yeru'eh Kol Schorches Pnei Hashem Elokecha, that we are able to appear in the presence of Hashem. Yeru'eh and Yeru'eh. Yerushalayim is a lotion of seeing, of seeing. V'omuchach Menazal, Kishem Shu Baliros, Kafu Baliros. That we come there to be seen by Hashem, to appear before Hashem, and kivyochol, we come to see Hashem. Not physically, but we come to see Hashem. The soy god Ramos become. The Shari Oyer says there's a very deep hint over here. Zel soyt hakol chayovim biri'iyah. And this is what Chazal tell us, hakol chayovim biri'iyah, Chazal say in the Mishnah, that every one of us is chayiv to see Hashem, which means to appear, when possible, to appear by the three yontivs in Yerushalayim before Hashem. Va'afal pish, Hashem is baruch yishuv mesiachim yisov ha-mikdash mesik tzase kinuyim shem albushov. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, Hashem, the Shoyer says that Hashem is known, there are names that Hashem is called by. There's the Shem HaMafurish, the name of Hashem Kivyochel, and then there are names that are called kinuyim. We refer to Hashem by these names. So he says, in the Beis HaMikdash, he takes off some of the malbushim, some of the garments, that in the Beis HaMikdash, when Hashem's name was uttered, when Hashem's name was said in the Beis HaMikdash, it was said Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name was actually pronounced. We're not allowed to. But in the Beis HaMikdash, where the king is in his house, the name was pronounced in that way. The nations of the world, of course, do not have that privilege. Only Am Yisrael has that. Still, even in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is covered and concealed with a little bit, some garments, some coverings. Because not all Jews on our level, where they could mamish, come all the way into the Kodesh Kadoshim. But when Hashem is unified with tzaddikim and chassidim, of the Sa'ilim ve'Islam, great tzaddikim, ozumesim and kol hakinuim, then Hashem is not called by any of His other names at all. The Nizgav Havayi Levado, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei Mamish. The Nimsa Shem Havayi is Baruch Oymerim Yisrael Kei Melech Shepashat Kol Mabushav U'Misyachadim Ishta. It's like the king who's when he's with his wife. When he's with his wife, he doesn't have to, when they're together and they're intimate, there are no malbushim at all. There are no coverings at all. There are no garments at all. So Shuvu Bonim Shavavim Nuum Hashem Kanochi Ba'alti Eschem. Hashem speaks like a husband and wife throughout Tanakh. He speaks about Am Yisrael as being his kal, as being his bride, his wife. And Hashem says, if I want to have that relationship with you, without any coverings, without any concealment, that a person is able to be mizdabik by Hashem, that a Jew has the ability to go lifnai v'lifnim, all the way inside Kivyochol, to be as on some level, as a chasn and kala, as the queen and the king. It says in Pasuk that Hashem betrothes us. Like the king when he's with his wife. This is the Madrega of Am Yisrael in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they can come to such a Madrega of being Kivyachol like Hashem. Let's begin the first Mida. V'achshav nefarish ois napulos yud gimel sheroish yitiyana boy. Now we have to remember that each one of these Midas we already have within us. We're all wired with each of these Midas. Since you and I have inside of us, achelek elokom yimal, we have a portion kivyoch, we have God Himself is inside of us. Therefore, when the Ramak writes, even here, the Ramak writes at the end, he says, by the Hakdomer, Roy Shetim Tse'ena by Yudgum Midas Eila, we have these Midas in us. The Avoda of Tikkun HaMidas is to bring out these Midas. How can we, what can we think about, what can we do, what can we daven in order to make these Midas that we can mamish live by every minute of our lives? Which is the tachlis. We learned that last week. It's not just a question of saying the 13 midas. It's the issue is observing, keeping, living in that way of the 13 midas. So the first midah, let's learn inside the first midah. Ha'alef mikel kamaycha. Mikel kamaycha. Moira Ahal Yois, I'm assuming that many of you have seen this before, but Moira Ahal Yois HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elav. This first sentence is very shocking. Mikel Kamaycha, what God is like you? Mikel Kamaycha, who is like you, Hashem? In what way? As the Ramak says, this teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Ne'elav, that Hashem is a humiliated and disgraced and degraded king. Melech Ne'elav. Humiliated. What's the humiliation? Soivel Elbein, that Hashem suffers and tolerates humiliation. Mashle Yechilehu Rayon, that the mind can't comprehend. Hare Ein Davinista Mahashkechasa Blisafeg. There is nothing that's hidden from Hashem's eyes. Hashem sees everything, Hashem knows everything. Void ein regesh lo yeha adam nizoin amiskayim mikach el yinashay feya alav. And not only does Hashem see everything and know everything, but every single second Hashem is infusing us with life. It's not just that He knows, as the Tani explains at the beginning of Shayichud Amuna, every single second Hashem is creating us, is infusing us with life. Ein rega, there isn't a second, a moment. Shall yeha adam nizan amiskayim mikach elyon hashefer alav. Kol haneshama tehalelka chazal se'a kol nishima u'nishima. Every single breath, Hashem is giving us every second life, the ability to breathe. V'harei timsa shemei oylem loichota adam negdo. If the Ramak says, any time that it ever happened that a person sinned against Hashem, that at that moment that person is given existence, life by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the person is using the very life, the vitality, the energy that Hashem is giving him in order to kivyachol slap Hashem in the face, to sin against him. Hashem is giving you the shefa, the bracha, to live at that moment and to move your limbs, to be able to move. And despite the fact that the person is using that koach, that energy that Hashem is giving him, and he's using that energy that Hashem is giving in order to sin against God. And Hashem doesn't withhold. He doesn't withhold that energy, that life, from each and every one of us, even though we abuse it. Even though we use it against him. He doesn't hold it back from us. Hashem is soivel. He tolerates. Elbein kazeh, such humiliation, lios mashpia bo koach tnuos evarov, that he's mashpia in the person every moment, that koach, that energy that the person needs in order to move, and the person uses that energy against Hashem, to sin, against Hashem. Umachis, to anger kivyochel Hashem. Vakadosh Baruch Hu soivel, and Hashem is soivel. And as we'll see, not only is he soivel, but he continues to love the person, and he's patient, and he works with us. Kadosh Baruch Hu soivel. You know, when we look back at the very, very beginning, the shayrish, the root of course, of all Averis is what happened in Gan Eden with Adam and Chava when they ate from the tree. This midah that we're talking about, Mikel Kamoicha, is really the first midah of Hashem that was revealed in creation with Adam and Chava. Because Adam and Chava, within that the hour that Adam and Chava were created, they already sinned against Hashem. The relationship that Hashem had with Adam and Chava after that chait is a relationship that reveals this midah of Mikel Kamoicha. The first revelation of Midas HaRachamim was when there were people, two people, Adam and Chava, who ruined everything, who used the chias, the life that Hashem gave them at the very beginning of their existence, to turn the entire creation upside down. And not only did Hashem continue to give them life, not only did He give them that ability to use that life against Him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis, and the Torah tells us that He had Rachmanis on the Tzelem Elokim, the Dmus of Adam and Chava, and He gave them clothing to wear. He dressed them, He gave them clothing, He had Rachmanis on the covered of Adam and Chava, despite the fact that Adam and Chava had done that. So the very first revelation in history of the 13 midas was this midah of Mikel Kamoicha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu soivel, He tolerates and He's patient. The Ramah continues, V'loisayma sheni yochelim noya mimenu hatoiva hu chasu sholem. And you shouldn't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unable to hold back the person's life. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unable to strike the person down the moment that he misuses life. You shouldn't say that. Shari b'koichai b'rega k'meimra. Because Hashem, in a split second, has the koach, liyabesh yadav, to dry up the hand, the arm, yadav, the arms, v'raglov, and his legs, kein she'osel yiravim, like what happened in Tanakh, in Melachim Aleph, what happened in Tanakh with Yeravim, without going through the whole story, when he was reaching out his hand by the Mizbeach and to go and to take the Isha Lakim, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu dried up his arm completely. Hashem could do that at any moment with anybody. Vim kol zois, shakoach biyodo, that Hashem has the ability, lahachzir hakoach anishpahahu, to reclaim and to take away from a person that koach of life, that koach of movement. V'hoiloi loimer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could rightfully say, kevachata choyte negdi, since you're sinning against me, techto b'shel chov, lo b'shelid, then use yourself, use your own koiches, so to speak, to sin against me. I have to provide you with the koiches to sin against me. Like a child that asks his father for the car keys, and he gives this the car keys, and the kid runs over his father. So Hashem has to give us the koiches. Hashem gives us the koiches to sin against him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take away that koich and could say, "Tachta b'shachov, lo b'shali." Lo mipnei zeh mona tuvo min ha'adam. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give man the ability to go on living a life in a life which is in rebellion against him, But also, he doesn't even take away the toiv of the person. He continues to have a relationship with the person. Like with Adam and Chava, that he gave them clothing to wear. Ela soval elbain. Soval elbain. That he tolerates this humiliation. Vishpia koach, vehetiv lo adam tuvai. And he's mashpia koach, vehetiv lo adam tuvai. Now that doesn't mean that a person can get away with everything. You're not allowed to say because brochus are vatran. We'll talk about that later on. Now Mark's not suggesting that the world is hefka, and that you do anything you like and it's going to be just the same. I know that I spoke about this on Shabbos a little bit in Shul. Every single one of us these days, every minute, we're crying out to Hashem that he should be Teveya, his Elbein and the Elbein of his people. That our enemies are shooting these missiles to hurt us, thousands of missiles to hurt us. And those who are not shooting physical missiles, so the rest of the world, that they're shooting their missiles of sinis Yisrael, of anti-Semitism, of hatred, Ki'ilu, this is some sort of a milchama, there's some sort of a war that's going on, and ki'ilu, the Jews are the same. The Jews are the ones who are mistreating the Palestinians, without going into all of that. And we're crying out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be tevei his elbow, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should react, should respond. How do you give these Rishoyim the karchas to continue like this?
We continue to give electricity to Hamas.
And I don't know if that's still. I know they were talking about right. It's a good marshal that we are the ones that are providing electricity for the Rishayim, and through that they're able to strengthen themselves to fight against us, to rebel against us, to hurt us. It's even noir. It's a pachet. That there's such a mid in the world of Mikel Kamoicha. And here too, we feel the elbein. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we feel the humiliation of Am Yisrael. It's a muscle, it's a little bit of a taste of what the Ramak's talking about. Mikel Kamoich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the elbein, the humiliation, the embarrassment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was soivel. That in one second, he gave a little puff, and this whole inyan of the Yishmaelim is finished. And we don't understand that he's soivel, such an elbein in the world. And we know that if the army was given the green light, if our boys were given the green light to go ahead and to finish off all of these rishonim, within 45 minutes the whole parish would be done. It's called carpet bombing, Gandhi. The whole place would be finished. And instead, we have to be civil, such a thing that the boys should go into these places with the Rishayim, that their lives are in danger every single second, and we have to be civil. All the bizyonis and the way that they talk and the way the whole world talks and what's going on. So it's a tam, it's a taste of a certain inyan of the bizyonis, the chil Hashem. It's the biggest chil Hashem. Because Baruch Hu is not teveya, because Baruch Hu doesn't take back what's coming to him. Now we appreciate that. When that mid is a mid of Mikel Kamoicha, and when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, and Hashem gives us a chance. The relationship that Hashem has with us is a relationship of ahava, a relationship of love and patience. The inyan of the Rishayim, that's a different cheshbon, we're going to talk more about that. The inyan of the Rishayim is that Hashem gives them the opportunity to make themselves into a bigger Rishayim. So that when the Mapala will come, when the destruction will come, it will be much, much bigger. Yom Nakam Belibi. There's a day of vengeance in Hashem's heart. And when that vengeance, when that revenge will take place in the most unbelievable way. We should be zeichet to see it soon. It will take place in the most unbelievable way. But that Hashem is soivel, such a chil Hashem. The biggest chil Hashem that ever took place was man's creation. Was there a bigger chil Hashem than that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a being that has the choice to go against it. It's a chil Hashem. Creation is a chil Hashem. What does the word chilu mean? Chilu means halal. Halal means an emptiness. It means a vacuum. We're living in a world where people could think that there's no rishon, there's nothing. That lays din, lays din. People could do whatever they want. To him and to Jews, they could do whatever they want. Lays din, lays din. It's hefka. It's the biggest chilu Hashem. Vishpi akoich vehetiv la'odam tuvay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is toiv, and he's mative to the person despite the person's sins. This is elbowing, this is a humiliation, and savlonis, tolerance and patience. Which we can't even, we don't even know how to describe. And therefore you find that the malachim, the angels, refer to Hashem as a humiliated king, because who knows better than the malachim what Hashem could do? And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called the Melech Olav, a Melech Olav. V'hayinu Omrei, and this is the midah, V'hayinu Omrei, Mikel Kamoicha. The Ramak says, Mikel Kamoicha. What God is like you? Mikel, who is like you? Mikel Kamoicha. Ata Kel Bal Chesed Hameitiv. Now the name Aleph Lamed has two meanings. It means chesed, kindness, loving kindness, and it also means strength. Mi kamaycha ba'elim Hashem. It means strength. So here it means, who is as strong as you, who could demand justice, who could take away life, and who is such a bal chesed like you? Ata kel bal chesed hametiv, kel bal koach. You're bal chesed and you're bal koach. If a person doesn't have this koach to do what Hashem could do, then it wouldn't be a chesed. But Hashem has the koach to take away life. Hashem has the koach to stop those who are fighting against him. And he doesn't. So who's as big of a chesed as the one who has the koach to punish and doesn't? Instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, and the whole world could say, Aye Elokechem, where is your God? He's a kel bal koach linkaim. He has the koach to be nokaim, to take revenge. V'lasoif shalcha. Lasa means to take back what is truly his, life, existence, belongs to Hashem. And he could take it back at any moment. Whenever he wants to, he can take it away from us. And with all of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soivel v'nelav. He tolerates, and he's in his silence, humiliated. Ad yoshu b'tshuva, to give man an opportunity, a chance, to the tshuva, to return. This midah of Mikel Kamaycha, the Ramak says, is a midah that you and I, that man, has to try to live by. What do I mean by that? Ritzaini, he says, Hasavlonis, the midah of tolerance, of patience and tolerance with those who don't behave the way that you would like, who are not treating you the right way. Even to the point of being humiliated and degraded. Even to such a degree, and even though you have the ability, you don't hold back your love and your kindness from the makabel, from the very makabel who is hurting you. Now, the most obvious place we see this, of course, is with parents and children. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. This midah with parents and children, we see that very, very clearly. It says in the Yalkut Shemayin, to try to understand what the Ramak is talking about a little bit more. Again, we can talk about this mamash for years, this first midah, a little bit, to understand a little bit. It's brought down in the Yalkut Shemayin in Parashas Naso. Kasha ha-gandav, I'm just reading it to you. Kasha ha-gandav ha-hanoiv, shemesalkim et ha-shchinik yivyoch. The Medrash says that a ganav, a thief, a noif, an adulterer, caused the Shechina to retreat from this world. Shakadosh Baruch Hu moleh elyonim v'tachtonim. The whole tachlis of creation, the Medrash says, is for the Shechina to dwell in this world, to be revealed in this world. These two averes, bifrat, theft and adultery, are driving away the Shechina from the world. Shnema haloy es a shamayim besarot zanimoli nu mashemu be'ezem mokum boha noif lenoif alokan shborgu bechvoidei shom shnema maloy chalaharetz kivoidei. This is how does a person have the chutzpah to commit this aveira of adultery or to steal? Hakash Baruch Hu is maloy chalaharetz kivoidei. The whole universe is filled with Hashem's glory. Va'noif omer salikatz mechavetaini mokum l'shah. He says, in effect, what the Noif is saying, what the person who's doing any aveira on some level is saying, at this moment, I want to make believe, I want to see the world, ki'ilu, the Shechin is not here. Ki'ilu, the Shechin is not here. I'm sure you all know there's a famous story they say from the Baditshava. This is from Moshe Lipsasov, but it's more famous from the Baditshava, that the Baditshu was going someplace on the road, and then some Jew was passing by, and he gave the Baditshu a lift, and they were going, and they came to a place that was an orchard, that's a private orchard, and the driver, this Jew, stopped, and he got out of the wagon, the Baditshu got out of the wagon. He wanted to go help himself, this driver wanted to go help himself to some fruit, which of course is stealing, it's not his. And he said to the Baditshva, look, I'm going to go in there. Your job is to stay over here. And if you see that there's somebody that's coming, if there's anybody that's watching, then just give a whistle and I'll know to hide, to run away. So of course, you know the end of the story is the second the guy walked away, he walked into the orchard, the Baditshva starts to whistle. And the guy comes over, where? And the Baditshva says, what do you think? It's, can a person hide anywhere where Hashem doesn't see him? So how is it possible for us to do something that's against the will of Hashem? I mean, knowingly. I'm not talking about Jews who don't know. They weren't taught. It's not their fault. They don't know. But if we know, how is it possible for us to do things against Hashem's will? So the Teretz is, by carving out in our minds, in our hearts, ki'ilu, God is not here, a place empty of God. That's a chilul Hashem. As if Hashem is not here, as if Hashem is not watching. Because if you or I felt mamish every second, shivis Hashem like this, if we felt in a real and deep way the presence of the Shekhinah, we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to go against Hashem. So the Medrash says, Hanoif Omer, the person who's committing this sin, says, Salik Atzmacha v'teinli mokim l'shah. It's as if he's saying to Hashem, do me a favor, leave for a little bit. Tainli mokum lisha, I just need like an hour. Can you mind turning away, go away for a little bit? I just need an hour to do my aveir. I have some aveirs to do. Can you leave me alone for a while? Hadavakosha admoi kivyochlu moli rachimim ve'erachapayim v'nosanli mokum lisha. And Hashem gives a person, so there is such a thing that a person can actually delude himself, that he has a mokum l'sho, that there is a moment without God, that there's a place in the world without God, that a person can go someplace into a basement and lock the door, and his wife and kids are not there, and he locks everybody out, and he can go onto the computer and press a couple of buttons, ki'ilu, the Shechina left that basement, left that room in the basement. Kilo, a person can take the phone and go someplace and looks around, there's nobody here, and goes and presses the button and looks at things that he or she shouldn't look at. And the feeling is that Hashem is noisily mocking the show, that Hashem gives him a couple of moments where he's free, where Hashem doesn't see, where Hashem disappears, where the Shechina is mistalakis. That therefore, on a deeper level, every aveir is a chilul Hashem. Every aveir is a chilul Hashem. Because a chilul Hashem, again, means a vacuum, an emptiness. Now, what the Medrash is saying is that Hashem, the emes, the truth is that it is Malay Chalaris Kavaydai. That Hashem fills all of creation. Everything is Hashem. Everything is Hashem. In the 13 Midas that we're more familiar with, Hashem, Karachum, Machanun, you know, there are different sheets in the Rishonim, how do we count the 13 Midas? It's a little bit confusing. Hashem, so it was Hashem, and Hashem are those two times, two separate Midas. I mean, how do we count the 13 meters? Hashem, Hashem, Karachum, Machan. So one of the ways of counting, Chazal say, it's in the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, so Chazal say over there, that it says, why does it say Hashem twice? So the Gemara says, it says Hashem twice, Anihu kaidim sheyech ta'odam, v'anihu la'acher sheyech ta'odam. It says Hashem's name twice. Hashem, Hashem. I am Hashem before you sin. Ani Hashem kaidim shiachta. Ani Hashem la'acha shiachta. And I'm Hashem after the chayt. So this is what I'm talking about. What's the midas harachmim of Hashem kaidim achayt? What does that mean? Achra achayt, we understand. After a person has sinned, then we need this Mikel Kamaicha to have Rachmanis, to give us a chance to continue, to do tshuva. What's the name Hashem? Hashem, Hashem, Karachum, Machanum. Ani Hashem, Kaidim, Shiachta. So the Mabit was in Tzvas, the Tam de Beis Yosef. The Mabit says that the truth is that the chait, the sin begins really before the person actually does the sin. That perverted way of looking at life, that mistake that a person makes and begins to think that I could do something and it takes place in a vacuum, already then the person is emptying Hashem out from the world. Not only b'shas ma'asim he does the chait. The Mabit explains, Ani Hashem kaidem shi'echta adam, means even before you actually do the chait. What were you thinking? All right, then you actually do the chait. But kaidem shi'echta, before you did the aveira, there was a terrible mistake that you were making. Before you did the aveira, it's ki'ilu in your mind, already beginning then. That Hashem is not there. And therefore, by right, even at that moment, the person could be, Chalila, could be punished. Really? How do you come to even think of such a thing? How do you come to even plan such an Azeira? What are you thinking? And even at that point, before the Chait, Ani Hashem, there's already a Midas HaRachmim before the person actually does what's wrong. On the way to doing what's wrong, thinking to do something that's wrong, just the hearer of doing something that's wrong, that's all considered to be part of that reality that's called Ha'odam Kaidim Shiyechta, before the sin. Yeah?
The word chait in itself means that he is missing the point. Meaning that Hashem is giving him almost a leeway, almost an open window,
right,
that he is almost not a tinok shenishba, but he's basically somebody who really doesn't see it right, doesn't have Hashem's trust with Midat HaRachamim, so to speak, that he will forgive him or try to work with it,
right,
because he's just missing it.
Right, because the word chait is from the word lahachti, right? Lahachti es hamatar, to miss the target. Chait means that you're missing the point. You're missing the truth. You don't see the truth. You're missing the point. And despite that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moli Rachmim, even though the mistake begins before. It could be a long time before you actually do the chait. You're already making that mistake. You're already missing the point. And the Midas HaRachmim, therefore, is, even though Hashem knows that you're going to carry out this chait, from that time you're already thinking about this chait, it's already clear, and you're already planning this, or it's already part of your consciousness to go ahead and do this. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you, who gives you the energy, the life, the kaiches, to be able to move forward with the plan that you have to go against them. Now, a human being, normally, if you know that someone's conspiring against you, you would try to stop the person before they can carry that out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by all right, could stop that plan before it ever gets started. He could stop the person, kaidim shiachta, before there's a chait, before any chait. So the Midas HaRachamim is this Midah of Mikel Kamaicha, the truth is, it's really revealed before the Chait actually takes place. The Reish Chochma explains here also that he's talking about what we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, V'nafshi ka'ofa l'kol tiyah. V'nafshi ka'ofa l'kol tiyah, that my soul should be like dust, like dirt. V'nafshi ka'ofa l'kol tiyah. And the Reish Chochma brings from Rabbi Shlomo Alkevitz, L'chadaydi. to explain the meaning of v'nafshi ka'ofer. V'nafshi ka'ofer. And he brings a pasuk in Nehemiah. It says Nehemiah, Uman chaloi manata mipiyam. Uman chaloi manata mipiyam. It means that he explains that we worship the golden calf. Uman chaloi manata mipiyam. And Hashem still served us lunch and supper. Like he served us our meals. He gave us the man to eat. Uman chaloi manata mipiyam. It says in 7 Nehemiah that Hashem didn't take away the man from us. We didn't miss one meal. Even though we were over on the Chet HaEgel, we did such a thing. We said Eila Elach Yisrael. So the midah of a nafshi ka'ofer l'koltia, the Reish Chacham brings from Melchadaydi, that the nafshi ka'ofer l'koltia means that even if a person is brought to such a place where there's somebody who steps on you like dirt, and it's hard for us to understand. Not to be my nea tov, not to hold back the tov from that person, not to hold back, to continue to give. This is the meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a melech olav, of Hashem being a king who's humiliated. And that's what the Ramak is explaining over here. Sometimes there's an inyan where the reason that there's rachmanis is because of a certain weakness that you have. There's a weakness. But in this particular case, when we're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that there's any weakness. What do I mean by a weakness? Lamasal. Sometimes a person's midas harachamim is activated because you see somebody and the person's a rachmanis. You see Nebuchad Shlepper, a poor person, sitting on the street someplace, and because of that, you feel that there's a rachmanis, and the reason that you could be putting the coin into the guy's cup is not because be'emes, you want to be mate for that person, it's just you want to relieve yourself of that feeling, that bad feeling you have seeing this guy. So the whole inyan of tzedakah in that particular case might not be because of a deep midah of toiv inside of you, but rather you find it unbearable to see this person sitting there. It bothers you, and therefore, when a person's midas harachamim is put into use, it's a response that comes as a result of a certain weakness inside of himself. Not because be'etzim he's a rachman, because be'etzim he has compassion, but because he's reacting to something that he's experiencing, he's reacting to something that he sees. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas harachman is not because of there being some sort of a weakness. The foil rachmav bedin, we say in Hashem Kippur, l'pol rachmav bedin. L'pol rachmav bedin means that Hashem doesn't respond like on the moment because he has a broken heart. He just feels bad. He goes, oy vey, and he can't take it, so he helps a person out. The far rachmav bedin means that even at a time of midas adin and midas hamishpat, Hashem is a cheshbon to wait and to give this person time to work things out. Very often with us, it's not like that. It's not with a cheshbon. It's just you feel bad. You feel bad. And because you feel bad, the reaction is that you have rachmanis. Afterwards, you might regret the fact that you had rachmanis. It doesn't mean that be'emes was a midas harachman. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. By Hashem, it doesn't work that way. We say in the Zemiris of Shabbos, Meshoich chastucha liyadecho, Kel kano v'nokem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's described in Tanakh, he's described in the 13 meters of Kel kano, that he's a jealous God that takes revenge. Kel kano v'nokem. And we ask Hashem, Meshoich chazdecho liyedecho Kel kano v'nokem. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take revenge. Hashem is a kel kano v'no kein. Kina, to take revenge, is a midah of Hashem. But again, we're davening that we should be zeichet to see this, that because you love somebody very, very badly, like the Ramchal writes in Mishnah Sharm, that when you love somebody very badly, you can't stand to see that person being hurt, and you come to help the person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel kano v'no kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God that can take revenge. He can take revenge. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can't take revenge. It's not that Hashem is weak or that he's a pushover. Adarabba. One of the midas of Hashem is that he's a kel kano v'no kein, that he's a vengeful God. That means that he can, that's what the Ramak is telling us, that he can take revenge at any moment, at any second he can take revenge. But he chooses not to. And he suffers the humiliation, the embarrassment, and the degradation during that time that he doesn't take revenge. And he's patient, and he gives us an opportunity to change. That midah of kinah, that Hashem, I spoke about this a little bit Shabbos morning, the midah of kinah, we see that when you love somebody, bamis with all of your heart, so you can't bear to see that person being hurt. So there's a midah of kinah that Hashem has. Rak eschem yadati, mikol mishpachos ha'adamah. It says in the Novi in Amos, Rak eschem yadati. You know, there's a halacha that if a guy believes in God and he also worships idolatry, worships idols, that as far as the non-Jew is concerned, according to most of the Rishonim, that according to halacha, I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but he's not punished for that, and some hold that he's even allowed to do that. In other words, he could believe in God, and he could also believe in some avodah zarah. But by a Jew, there's no such thing. Because our relationship that we have with Kadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship like that's a husband and wife. And when you have a deep relationship of love, there's no such thing that one can tolerate the other one being unfaithful. It's intolerable. It's intolerable because unfaithfulness undermines the relationship. When it comes to the relationship between Hashem and a Jew, there we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Kel Kanov, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Kanov, that he's jealous. What does it mean that Hashem is jealous if a Jew goes and does something else? Hashem is jealous. That because of his love for each and every one of us, and because he has a relationship, as we learned, like a husband and wife, he has such a relationship. You know that when a woman is suspected of doing something, of being unfaithful, so the husband is mekane, that's the parasha of Sot, he's mekane, he's jealous. If you find a relationship where one doesn't care what the other one is doing, do whatever you like. I like to have, rahman al-islam in the world, you know, an open marriage. It means there can't be a dveikus between these people. It means that there's no dveikus between them. Because if there's dveikus, wherever there's dveikus, there's kinna, there's jealousy. Wherever there's dveikus, there's kinna. So Hashem is dovuk to each and every one of us. And therefore, there's a midah of kinna. Rak eschem yadati. And that's why we were able to, in this last week's parasha of Pinchas, that Pinchas, Bekano es kinasi besoichem, and the chlis is bnei Yisrael, heishiv is chamasi, Pinchas is Elyonavi. And the midah of Elyonavi is kinna. The midah of kinna comes from deep love, comes from tremendous, tremendous love, this midah of kinna. And therefore, it's even more remarkable. We're not talking about what Goyim are doing. It's even more remarkable that when you or I are doing something that we shouldn't do, at that moment of unfaithfulness, but Hashem could be mekane, kel kano v'noikim. He could be mekane. He could act as a in that way of jealousy, and he could chalila do something to hurt us. But Hashem is soivel, this elbow of a husband that knows that his wife is doing something disgusting. And even though he's filled with rage, he's filled with kinna, but he works with the person, and he's able to give time for that person to work the inyan out. It's something which is hard for us to understand. Because where there is that kind of love and devotion, there's naturally going to be a powerful feeling of kinna, a powerful feeling of jealousy. Now, we're not talking about Hashem, that he has emotions like a human being, but one of the midas of Hashem is that he's kel kana, that he's jealous. He's jealous. And that jealousy comes out most when it comes to his people. Because Hashem is married to us. We're Hashem's wife. Therefore, when you or I, when we're being unfaithful to Him, Hashem Yirachem, when we're being unfaithful to Him, it's an unbelievable avla. It's much worse than when a guy is doing something that's wrong. It's much worse. A Jew is a tzelman and the mus of Hashem. It's a wife. There's a relationship. And therefore, by a Jew, Hashem says, you can't believe in me and worship another idol. By God, there's such a thing. But by a Jew, it's bilti l'Hashem levado. It's ein od milvado. It's nothing. There's only God. There's nobody else. There's only you. Only you. So how can you and I say, it's only you, it's only you? And then we go and we flirt and we do different things. There's only you. But when we do something that's wrong, it's flirting. It's going away from the relationship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the Makkah is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could act as an angry, jealous husband. And he has the koyach to do that. And he doesn't. One of my talmidim in Eretz Yisrael shared with me that he heard from Rav Tzvi Maya Zilberberg, who said in the name of Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Mashgiach from Tarvet Das. I don't know the source of this, so I can't confirm this, but I believe Rav Wolfson, maybe somebody could find out where this is from. But there was some interview. There was some station that was interviewing one of the leaders of Hamas. And this person who was interviewing him asked him, what do you think about this, that you're firing like, you know, a thousand missiles, and like, how unsuccessful can you be? Now, you know that the propaganda that the Arabs are putting out to their people is that the Zionists are lying, and that really their bombs are hitting every place, all the targets with precision, and all there are a couple of hundred million Arabs that think that God forbid that there are thousands and thousands of Jews who have been killed. I mean, that's the propaganda they're putting out. But this interview said, come on, you know, that you haven't been successful. So how do you explain? Like, what's wrong with you guys? So this guy, again, this is what Rav Wolfson said. See my quote from Rav Wolfson, who said that the fellow was being interviewed, the fellow, this animal, was being interviewed. And he said, well, it's because of the God, of the Jews, it's the God of the Jews that's preventing the missiles from hitting. So the interviewer asked him the obvious question. So, like, if you believe that, then why do you keep on doing it? So why do you keep on firing them? So the guy said that, he said, because we're hoping that God will turn against them. Will turn away. We're hoping that their God, the God of the Jews, will turn away. So what Rav Wolfson was saying, and Rav Tzvi Maya was saying, is that we have to daven. We're seeing nisim. Hashem should continue to watch. Hashem shouldn't turn away, chalila. Because if Hashem for one split second turns away, those things are all aimed, sof kol sof, it is a pella. I mean, I don't want to open their mouths, chalila, but it's a pella. It's the most wondrous thing. They're not 1,000 miles away. They're firing these things 30, 40 miles. There was one that was flying right over Ashdod, a drone that the Israelis shot down. And with this Iron Dome that Hashem's Baruch made such a thing, that we have such a thing. But the Arabs said that we're hoping that maybe the God will turn away. So what Simai was saying, this is my Talmud Tomei, what Simai was saying is that we have to daven strong, 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 that Hashem shouldn't turn away. That Hashem should be with us. He shouldn't turn away. That with all of our shortcomings, with all of our faults, with all of the fighting and the bickering that he sees that we're involved in lately, so much fighting and so much arguing, so much narishkeit, so much sinus chinam that's going on between Jews, that, you know, when a parent sees that the children don't get along, a parent can't stand it. There's nothing that upsets a parent as much as when the children are fighting, right? Every parent knows that. And when the kids are not getting along with each other, or chas v'shalom, the children aren't talking to each other. And despite that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching over us. Can you think, such a melech nelo, such a humiliated and degraded king, and all the things that we do that we shouldn't be doing, and all the things that are going on, and despite that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching over us, and he still has rachman, he still is taking care of us. He's still soivel us. We have to thank him. We have to daven that he shouldn't turn his eyes away from us, that he should watch every single second. We should be zeichem to Hashem to see big, big, big nisim. That Hashem Kuzbach kel kama v'noikem, that Kuzbach Hu should take nekama from our enemies. We should be zeichem to see with our eyes the completion of Golus in 3 weeks. And we should see the geula of the Krav Mamash, the Bush of Amitis, maybe Amen, Amen, Amen. We'll continue next week.